involved, to prepare, to come prayed up, ready to make a change. There are people here, I'm sitting looking at you. Thank you for that. Thank you for your involvement in making this church such a special church. Thank you for all of your giving, your generosity, and your time, your talents, your treasures, everything. Thank you. Thank you. I had a coffee this morning. Does anyone not drink coffee? No one's perfect. It's all right. At a certain time of morning, it's actually medicinal. It's not even a recreational drink. It's, I've got to have my coffee, you know. This morning, I want to be preaching on learning to hear the voice of God. And for some people, this topic is kind of like, I really would like to hear what God's saying to me. And so I'm hopefully going to give you some practical things on how to hear the voice of God. But I was wrestling with this because why do we want to hear the voice of God? Why do we want to hear the voice of God? And I came up with two reasons. Number one, we want to hear how He feels about us. Hey? We want to hear how God feels about us, number one. And number two, we want to hear what He would like us to do during the course of the day, or weeks, or months, or whatever it might be. And so, you know, I don't need to go too far to find out how God feels about me. Because I look at Adam, and I see that God said, hey, I want to have fellowship with you. And I see Abraham, and I see even with Moses, God called His people up and said, come up, I want you all to come up. And they said, no thanks, we actually don't want to go up. And God's, through the cross, Jesus making a way that we could have every opportunity to enjoy God with intimacy. And God speaking over His Son, saying, this is my Son with whom I'm well pleased. And it carries on throughout Scripture where God sees us as blessed because of His Son. And I can just see, you know, do you ever have those nights where you wake up in the middle of the night and you just feel God's there? And you're like, yeah, what? Like you go from naught to 100 miles an hour. You're going from dead sleep to yes. And you know God's kind of just woken you up a bit and you, yes, God. What do you want me to pray for? You know, and is there something you want to do? Am I have to intercede? Do you want me to pray for things? Do you want me to just go into my word, my Bible? And there's nothing, and you hear nothing, and you're wondering, going, I get this often. Now I just wanted to look at you. I just wanted to wake you up and say I love you. Pleased with you, my boy. Did I tell you that I love you? I'm pleased with you, you're my boy. And I'm going, I get that. Can I go back to sleep now? I'm happy when you say those things while I'm sleeping. I get these things where sometimes where God just kind of like, I just like you. Not because of anything of me, but I mean for every single person here, God's kind of, I reckon that's why God doesn't sleep, so He can just enjoy us 24/7. I love my boys even more when they're asleep. All the parents of boys go, yeah, amen. Yeah, that's dead right there. And sometimes I like to wake Kale up and I say, I love you. Just so I can hear him back going, I love you too. And then rolls over. I'm going, oh, that's it. That's exactly what I'm talking about. I don't need to go too far to hear God say how He feels about me. I see it everywhere. As I said, I see the goodness of God over my whole life. I see I'm healthy. I see I've got a beautiful family. I see that I've actually got food in my stomach. I can see the friends and fellowship that we have here. And I'm just saying, wow, God, You love me so much that You've blessed me with so much things that You love me so much. I don't need to hear that every day, but I do. I can't help but look to my left, to my right, and I just see, wow, God. And so Well, it's nice to hear the voice of God about us. And I have heard the audible voice of God once, and it was actually sitting against that wall, that back wall. I heard Jimmy, and I turned around, there was a brick wall. And there was no one else around me to the left or to the right. I was going, alrighty, God. Get your heart rate pounding a little bit. But I don't need to hear His voice every day to see how He feels about me. It would be nice, though. I really would long for that. But I don't need to hear it every single day. How's the scripture? David writes, You have multiplied, O Lord my God, Your wondrous deeds and Your thoughts towards us. None can compare with You. I will proclaim and tell of them, yet they are more than can be told. He can't stop thinking about you. 24/7, God's thoughts towards you are more numerous than the sands. His dreams and aspirations for you are just so wondrous. And so we don't need to sit down saying, I need to war against the powers of darkness that I can get a little bit more intimate with God. There's nothing that can separate us. You heard the scripture this morning. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Neither height nor depth, angels nor demons. Nothing can separate us from His love. Second reason that I said was that while we want to hear the voice of God is not so much how He feels about us, but we want to do His will on earth. We all want our lives to be significant, right? We want our lives, this little short breath that we have here on earth, to count for something bigger than what we can see in ourselves, because we know God doesn't make junk, right? He doesn't make junk. So when the prophets come in and you say, whoa, yay, even, I see God has an awesome plan for your life. And I used to go, well, what about me? Does God only have awesome plans for people's lives, for certain people, or does He have an awesome plan for everybody? Of course He has an awesome plan for everybody. To say that there's some, like we're all Quality Street, you know? You're His favorite. But you're His favorite. It's ludicrous. God has got so many wonderful, glorious plans for all of us. How's these scriptures? Well, before I get there. So we want to find, before I heard this gospel message, I thought that I wanted to do exactly what God wanted me to do, because if I went this way, I would be blessed. But if I went this way, oh no, I couldn't be blessed as much as if I went this way. So Lord, where you know, it looked like I was some drunk trying to make a decision. You know, left, no, right, no, this way. Trying to make a decision in my life of where I'm wanting to go. Do I go left? Do I go right? What do I do? And I felt that if I didn't follow the right path, then I wouldn't get to my destiny. God had to speak to me and say, we've all got the same destiny. Think about it. Destiny, destination. Destination's heaven. You're going there, I'm going there. We all got the same destiny. Our destiny is Jesus. We all got the same destiny. And so God kind of had me this going along this road of, it's not left or right, blessings, curses, which is what I was under the old covenant. I'm in a new covenant now, which says, you're blessed. Whatever you do, you're blessed. For I'm for you and not against you. And it's taken a long time for me to get to that place. And I just had to enjoy the journey along this way. Listen to these scriptures. For we are His workmanship, created in Jesus Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You notice that the word there is walk in them. It's not the striving, trying to do the right thing, be the right person. It was just enjoying it. As you go on your journey, as you're going through life, oh, there's a good work. I'll have a bit of that, I'll have a bit of this. And there's going to be another, in the next, is it next week, we're going to be doing a sermon on rewards. Encourage you to get to this. I'm not going to go too much into that one. Next scripture says, come now, you who say today or tomorrow we'll go into such and such a town, spend a year there, trade and make a profit, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or do that. It's kind of just kind of saying, oh God, what's going on today? Should I do this? Should I do that? And it's good and right that we should make long distance plans. Because if God is calling you to China, best you get a hold of a book on how to speak Mandarin. And it's going to take time to get to speak Mandarin or Cantonese, or get to learn some, build up some relationships with people there. So God gives us dreams, visions, prophetic inclination stuff. I'm going to get to just now on our future. And He says, in order for you to get from here to there in a year's time, there's sometimes you need to make preparation. It tells us, okay, well, we can't go and get that new Xbox game. We're going to go and put that money aside for some travel expenses, money to pack up our stuff and move. So there is some legitimate things. You should be waiting on God and saying, Lord, what does the future hold? Do I need to make preparations for that time? But God will lead you in that. It's not a striving. It's not a stress. It's not a strain trying to wait on Him and say, I need to fast so I can hear what Your will is today, Lord. And we'll get to that just now. So how does God speak to us? I've put down a couple of things here. Number one, I've put down this word because it's hard to describe this. Some people say, no, it's your conscience speaking. Some people say, no, it's through your thoughts and feelings. It's an inner voice that you get to hear what God is saying. My best way of kind of putting it is an inclination. Like you're walking past someone. I was walking with Brad the other day up this road here, and I just bought a packet of chips for lunch, and I'm busy walking across, and instantly I look up and I see this old black guy. He's walking across. He's got this white beard, white hair, and you can see he's taking each step is a little bit strained. And I had this like inclination, hey, it would be so nice to just give him my chips, or give him some chips. And I was like, hey, Tata, would you like some? And oh, really? Thanks. And it's not this like, does God want me to or not want me to? It's a thing of kind of saying, I just had this like little feeling, inclination, this little inner voice. It kind of just said, hey, how about this? Was God, did I preach the gospel to him? No, I didn't. I just wanted to be a blessing. I just felt like it would be so nice to go and be a blessing, even in some small manner. So if you get these inclinations, I feel like I'm going to give Brad a latest BMW. Is it going to result in thanksgiving to God? Is God going to get glory?
Oh, yeah.
I rest my case. Inclinations, feelings, little inner voice. That's the one way God speaks to us. And we know that because Jesus is in us. The Holy Spirit is in us. Jesus is on the throne, but we say Jesus is in us, being that they are one. Their desires are one. His will on earth as it is in heaven happens through the Holy Spirit speaking through to us. The second one is an audible voice. As I said, I've heard Jimmy sitting at the back wall there. People on the back wall, just be ready. Bless you. I think this is possibly the one that I don't want to hear. Can I tell you why? I actually don't want to hear the audible voice of God when it comes to not about how He feels about me and how He relates to me, but what He wants me to do. Because I go throughout the whole Bible, and everywhere I see God having to speak audibly to someone, they have got a mammoth task waiting for them. I mean a mammoth task. Think about it. Moses, through the burning bush, I want you to go back to Pharaoh, and I want you to... Hey, how scary is that? Plagues, and being chased, and nearly drowned, and... What about Noah? Noah, I want you to build an ark. Right. What's an ark? It's 700 cubits by 600 cubits by 300 cubits. Right. What's a cubit? I used to know. Okay, and I'm going to get all the animals in the world to come two by two into. They're going to come in by themselves into the ark. Right. And then I'm going to flood the world, and I'm going to make it cover the world with all the water and every... Right. Because he believed him. He did just what God said to. Because he believed him, there was an action, a resulting action, and he did what he did. But God, when he speaks audibly, how about... Oh, but Jimmy, that's Old Testament. How about Paul? Why do you persecute me? Why are you persecuting me? I don't want to have God speak to me audibly. If you've got faith for that, I don't want to be a part of your ministry. Third one, dreams. We see Joseph having dreams. I've had dreams. I've had a dream where I was walking in a place that I've never been to in my life. And then a couple of years later, I managed to actually get to this place that I thought it would be. And here I'm walking around in a place in my dream. And I'm going, I'm actually standing at the place where I was looking at in my dream. Fascinating. Absolutely fair. Just going, wow, God, what are you doing? What are you saying? And God speaks to us in dreams. And I'd encourage you, some people say, well, how do I know what this dream means? How do I interpret it? I'd like to say this. This has been my general rule of thumb, and it's gemmeology. It's not any kind of recognized theological understanding. But I believe if you can remember that dream with absolute clarity, write it down and ask people. Ask God. Sit down and say, what do you think about this? How do you see this dream? What do you think this dream means? And you ask four people, you're going to get four interpretations. You spend time with God, you yourself kind of have an inkling what that might mean. Hey, just set it before God. But I really, some people say, I can't dream, I don't dream. God gives dreams. He gives prophetic pictures. What are we on now? Fourth one, prophetic words. Now you see people coming in week after week, bringing a prophetic word. And sometimes, when you're waiting on God, you get a, I mean for me, I sometimes get a scripture verse that just pops into my mind. I actually don't know what it says, it just pops up. Sometimes I get a passage of scripture. Sometimes I get a feeling for somebody that's having a certain need. Like I felt there was someone here this morning that had a backache. Is anyone here with a middle backache? Put up your hand. I just want to pray for you quick. Stand. Let's stand. I feel like there's going to be an outworking of this. Those people that just put up their hands, let's stand. I really felt it was my lower back. And now this is something, I'm just going to give you a practical demonstration of how prophetic word comes, because the prophetic word does three things. It edifies, encourages, and comforts. So some people that are standing up here now aren't feeling too comforted because now they're standing up in the middle of the crowd here. But the power of God is in every one of us. It's not in me only. The power of God is in each and every one of you. So would you just raise your hand to someone that the Holy Spirit highlights to you? It could be someone on the other side of the room. Look at them. Someone that you see, just let the Holy Spirit raise your hand to that person, the person that you got faith for. I can see hands going over to everyone. So right now, in the name of Jesus, backache, go. The power of God come upon each and every single body in the name of Jesus. Full restoration to the original design that God has purposed you to live and walk in freedom. In Jesus' name. Amen. Something you couldn't do. For me, I wasn't able to turn around like this. Don't sit down. Oh, you guys couldn't sit down before. Praise God. See, come on, sit down quickly. Something you couldn't do. Try and move your back around. Is it gone? Anyone, I'm looking if you look around, you feel like, hey, it was sore, now it's gone. Because I had a little backache that just came up just now before I came to this point. And as I was praying, I felt mine go. So I felt like there's a release for some people here. Anyone? It's fine. Lovely. Praise God. Anyone else? It's fine. You might be a bit intimidated to move around. You might be sitting saying, hey, I don't know if I should or shouldn't do. But just try something. You'll see like, hey, can I actually move around? Is it still there? Is it not there? Praise God for one. But you know what? Some people have different understandings of how healing happens. Healing happens instantly. The Bible also says that they will recover. It speaks about a process. Lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So I'm not making excuses for it. But I do believe. You guys are going to get to the rest again. It was a bit. Now I'm fine. Wow. Praise God for that. I love that. It's just God doing what He does best. Eh? Prophetic words. I would be very cautious if someone comes to me and says, and I've heard of this happening just recently. Someone came up to somebody in the church and said, you know what? I felt God showing me that my wife was going to look like this. And it was the exact person that was telling me this. And I don't know what to do, what to say. And I was going, hey. When someone comes and says, you're my wife, you're my husband. I have, you know, Thomas Cricket. Thomas heard God saying, that's your wife over there. And I said to him, I said, it's probably because if he didn't speak to you there and then, you were going to miss her. You know, God's like, I've got to get you guys together. So I have heard it happening where it actually does work out. But for me, the thing is that God spoke to her at the same time. And He said at the same time, these two, you guys are going to be together. Okay, now I've got no complications with that. But when somebody says, hey, I feel like you're my wife, and the girl doesn't witness with it, whoa. That's not going down too well, promise you. And we're the men in this church, we guard our ladies passionately. Daughters, our sisters, daughters in Christ, they're our sisters. We guard them. And so, one of the things that I wanted to say with that is that if someone gives you a directional word and says, I feel like you're going to be going to Westfall. I'm just squint zip. I'm not actually looking at you. If someone says, like, I feel like God's calling you to Westfall, then Zip doesn't go, yes, I witness with it. Then just put it on the shelf. Put on the shelf means don't despise the prophetic word, but really just keep it somewhere. Write it down. Put it in a book somewhere. Visit it again in 20 years' time, whatever it might feel like. And if you come across it, wow, look, God did speak this. Back then it meant not too much to me, but now I can identify with what God's saying here. So if someone's coming to give you a prophetic word, write it down. Write it down, write it down, write it down. See, the Bible speaks about prophecy in our corporate meetings that we get together like this. 1 Corinthians 14, 24-25, it says, an unbeliever, someone that doesn't believe, comes into a service and everyone is prophesying. How many people are prophesying? So I'll say it again. How many people are prophesying? It seems like some of you guys don't believe it. This side, how many people are prophesying? Everybody is prophesying. So some of you people are saying, I don't actually hear from God. I don't actually know what God's saying. There is an outworking of the prophetic gift which everyone is prophesying in. And the Bible says that everyone should eagerly desire the gift of prophecy. So what's the result? An unbeliever comes into the service and everyone is prophesying. The end result is that he will fall on his face and worship God. The point is, God wants everyone, everybody, every believer to prophesy. Why? Because when you're speaking the word of God, you don't have to try. It's the Holy Spirit in you that is giving you inclinations, giving you dreams, giving you images to speak out. So some people say, well, then why do we have this ministry mic here? Why do we have that? Why don't we all just have, you know, Ronnie is busy worshipping in a spare microphone, so halfway through the worship, the guys can just get up and prophesy and then go sit down again. Why don't we all prophesy at the same time? 1 Corinthians 14, 27-33 says this. If any speak in a tongue, let there only be two or at most three, and each in turn, and let someone interpret. But if there's no one to interpret, let each of them keep silent in the church and speak to himself and to God. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others weigh what is said. If a revelation is made to another sitting there, let the first be silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, so that you may learn and all be encouraged, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. So what we see there is that after two or three people have prophesied, we really ought to weigh it up. It's not just a free-for-all shotgun, let's just get as many prophetic words out there, I'm sure it's going to hit somebody, I'm sure it's relevant for somebody. It's really kind of saying, well, if we're going to bring a word together, you'll see there'll be like two or three words and then worship will carry on and people just weigh it up in their own hearts. The elders are weighing it up saying, Lord, is this a directional change? What are you saying about this morning's meeting? How's it going to work out? But to weigh it up. It doesn't say there's only two or three in every service and that's it. It says two or three, then weigh it up. Then you'll see there'll be two or three more that'll come. But God's will is that all prophesy. The next one, how does God speak to us? Through His Word. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Can I say that Bible roulette? Have you ever heard that? God, speak to me. I dare you. And they open it up. It's what I call Bible roulette. It's very dangerous. You could open up in the wrong passages. You could land up with, and verily, yea, even he was swallowed by, Lord, speak to me, and he was swallowed by a whale. Oh, no, that's not right. Job, and sores covered his whole body. Lord, you're just not good enough. Let's try it again. Locusts covered the sky and devoured all that. No, that's not right. And the storm was so fierce. Okay, Lord, I've had enough of that prophetic word for this morning and walk away. Very dangerous. And I'll get to how God really wants you to get into His Word. Getting into His Word, I had such a desire for one book this last week. And I promise you, I finished it within a matter of minutes. The smallest book in the Bible. No, I'm kidding. But I finished that book very quickly. And it was anointing. It was God leading me because I had some questions. And it's lucky to come to God with questions saying, Lord, I don't understand this. This thing is not making too much sense. Speak to me. And the Holy Spirit says, try this book, try this book, try this verse. Then run there. But I'm very reluctant to let people do this, the Bible roulette. The next one, orchestrated events. We see in the Old Testament of casting lots. they would take various stones, throw them down and say, right, whichever one this falls to, then we'll realize who the next person is coming in onto the discipleship. Disciples, well, the disciples, they're casting lots. Also with Gideon, he had a fleece, and it says in Judges 6 that this is what happened. Gideon rose early on the day, he squeezed the fleece, wrung out dew in a bowl full of water. Then Gideon said, I can hear this phone ringing. I'm sitting thinking about it. You know what? That's when it actually pays to be at the back of the church, because everyone's looking around going, who's ringing? Whose phone's ringing? And the people in the front are doing, like, you know, very either they've got the whole, I've got the neck brace on, they're just looking around quick. Looking around, or if they've got their spouse next and they talk to him, who is that? But you can see their eyes are looking around. Who's that? Who's that? I've got no problem with cell phones. Okay, where was I? And he squeezed out the fleece. See all the neck braces. Who's there? So he wrung out the dew and a bowl full of water. Then Gideon said to God, because Gideon had said, Lord, if there's water on this fleece that I put out of my tent, then I know that I'm to go to war. And so he does that and he squeezes it out and there comes water and he says, Lord, don't be angry with me. Let me just make one more request. Allow me one more test with the fleece. This time make the fleece dry in the ground covered with dew. That night God did so. Only the fleece was dry and the ground was covered with dew. And so I've made various fleeces before God. I said, when I came into ministry, I had just joined the church. 6 months later, I was leading a cell. And 6 months later, Steve had said, listen, a real feeling that you guys should be coming on to ministry. And so I didn't know what the hang ministry was. What's a ministry? I know what I do in work, and I can do this, and I can get there. What's a ministry? I don't know how. What do you do all day? Like some of you are thinking now, what do they do all day? Every day, week after, I don't know. And so I didn't know what I was getting into, and so I said, Lord, I'm confused. I don't know what I should do. So I said, Lord, I'm going to put a fleece out. The word fleece, inverted commas, kind of saying, Lord, if this happens, then I know that I should be going into ministry. And I said, by this date, by this time, Lord, if this doesn't happen, then that's it. Fleece is out there. I'm putting my whole faith out for this. And that date came and went. And then so Kevin Fanek, who was an elder at the time, kind of heard what I'd said and said, listen, don't do that. Don't do that. It's really, it could be quite detrimental. I said, but I put all my faith in this. This is what I feel God said to me, that I must leave it. I've got a job promotion up in Joburg. I'm going to be a buyer and a planner for Edcon. I'm going to change the world. I'm going to be flying all over the world, buying millions of rands of watches and jewelry. All the ladies are going, oh, that's my dream job. But I can do this, God. I know I can do this. I put out the fleece and it's fallen short. So I know this is what your perfect will is for me to do. And as soon as I'd gone, I won't go into all details, but I went on this little journey and I decided, okay, that's it. I'm going to go into ministry. It didn't take me too long for me to look back and say, I could have potentially lost out the best thing in my life, getting into ministry. And I could have been traveling the world, making lots of money for my company, for, you know, doing all sorts of fun things. But I know now that if I'd actually did that, and I said, right, that's it, Lord, finished with this thing, I'm over, I'm going to go now and get into the marketplace, I wouldn't be here today. I don't even know where I would be. Probably in a very bad place. But in the New Testament, we have the Holy Spirit leading in us. And when I was wrestling with my decision of should I go into ministry or should I go into this promotion, I felt God say, well, you decide. I said, no, but God, which one's more blessed? Is this more blessed or is this more blessed? You know that whole routine, this one or this one. And God said, no. You choose. Whichever one you want, you'll be blessed in. You want to go this way, I'll bless you. You go this way, I'll bless you. And I only just recently, I realized in the new covenant that we have in Jesus Christ, that is for everybody. It's not just for Jimmy, this is for you. You cannot go anywhere without being blessed. You are the blessing of God. You go left, you're blessed. You go right, you're blessed. You're blessed. So when it comes to decision making, with everyday decisions, as Steve said last week, people are wearing this, what would Jesus do? What they're really saying is, Lord, I want to know what you would like me to do. But what would Jesus do? He did everything that you couldn't do. He became sin so that you could live. And you get this thing called hyper-spirituality, which is, I was new in Christ. And so I would say, Lord, as I leave my work, if I see a Porsche 911 going down from the left to the right, as I leave my work, then I know I'm meant to go this way, because there were two ways to get to my home. So then, and you know what? I think God's got a great sense of humor. He really does. Because I would set the one way, and then the one day, I mean, I choose random cars, just random cars. And the one day, a Porsche 911 came past, says, Lord, and left right, and I was going, wow! Ooh, and I felt the anointing, Lord, you are with me, and wow! I'm going to go this way home now. I felt God having a little giggle at my expense, you know, like the angel, we're going to mess with him now. And then it got worse and worse and worse, in the sense that I'd have these, okay, right, God, if there's an airplane in the sky as I go across, and there's a two-door sports car coming in this way, as I'm going home, I must be going from left to right, then I know that I'm meant to be going this way, because now I make my demands of how I should live my life more and more excessive. And then I felt God just kind of like messing with me a bit, you know, because I'd be getting a sudden, there's an airplane, I'm going, oh yes, I can see it happening, I can see it happening, and then a four-door sports car comes past, I'm going, huh? What does that mean? And it's going from right to left, not left to right. Does it mean I go here, do I go there? And I feel like God's just messing with me, you know. He's kind of like saying, it doesn't matter. Just go home. Just go home. It's just your day's done. Go enjoy your family. Just. And I was so hyper-spiritual. Lord, I don't want to make a step out of line. And we're going to mess with him. This is what four-door sports car. Just mess around a bit. You don't have to wait on God for everyday decisions. Just enjoy the journey. Your destiny is the same as mine. I'll see you in heaven. We'll enjoy Jesus together. But for here on earth, you can't lose the blessing of God or the favor of God, because He is for you and not against you. Where am I? Other than in Durban, I know. How's this? See, it comes from out of a root of wanting to be blessed. Lord, because if I'm this way, I want to be blessed. But if I go this way, I also want to be blessed. And God says, okay. Whichever way you want, you'll be blessed. But it comes out of a root of wanting to be blessed and doing the right thing. How's this? Paul was shipwrecked, bitten by a snake. He was rich, then he was poor. Not once did he say, oh, this was God teaching me a lesson, just disciplining me because I'm a shocking son. He didn't say, oh, the devil's out to get me and I'm warring against him. Not once did he say. It says here, listen to this passage of scripture. Not that I'm speaking of in need, of being in need. For I have learnt in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learnt the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Can you see that there is nothing that can take you outside of His hand? Outside of His blessing, outside of His favor. Paul's kind of saying, my favor isn't dependent on whether my stomach's full or not, or whether I have a 40-foot yacht to go to Greece or a 20-foot yacht to go to Greece or not. It's. I've just learned to be content. Why is that? Why is he content? Why do you think he's content? Because he is not. He knows that God is in him. He knows that God is for him. He knows that no matter what he does, he is going to be in the favor of God. It says here, in any and every circumstance. So when it comes time for persecutions, the Bible even says, when they bring you to trial and deliver you over, do not be anxious beforehand. I really felt there's some businessmen here. Some people, even some people that are, because I was just waiting on the Lord this morning for some prophetic words too. There's some people here that have got this next week. There's going to be, I'm not going to ask you to stand or put your hand up, don't worry. But I just felt this word is for you, that you've got such a trial coming up, that there's a potential situation at work that really is unsettling the peace inside of you, potentially to the future that you have within that company. And I felt like this word is for you. Do not be anxious beforehand what you're to say, but say whatever is given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. That even in trials that you're going through in life, don't be worried about what's going to happen. You will be blessed there because the Father said that He has sent His Holy Spirit to give you the words to say. That you don't need to be worried about it beforehand and say, what do I need to do, what I need to say. The next point I want to make is this. Is that with directional decisions. So it's things that could change the area of your ministry. For example, marriage. If you get married, it could change the way that God's ministry as He's given you. It could be a job relocation. If you relocated to Joburg, the area of ministry that you've got could potentially change. That the Bible speaks about two things. It speaks that He counsels us. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel in the night. Also, my heart instructs me. God saying again, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. But also it speaks about in Proverbs, for by wise guidance you can wage your war, in abundance of counselors there is victory. Where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety. So if you're making a decision like, should I, shouldn't I, get some people's involvement. They've also got the Holy Spirit in them and say, listen, speak into my life here. What does this mean? Where should I go? How should I go about it? And the third thing I just want to finish off with is this. Is it me or is it you, Lord? See, God has given us a new nature. Ezekiel 11:19 says, I will give them one heart and a new spirit. I will put within them. I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. You have a new desire. So if you're sitting saying, Lord, is this me or is it you to give this old man some chips? For me, it's really splitting hairs. Is it me or is it you? It's us. He lives in us. We're in Him. He is in us. He is in God. God is in us. We're all together. Lord, who should I? Shouldn't? It's just chips. Give the man some chips. How's this one? 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of Christ controls us. Before we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And He died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for Him, who for their sake died and was raised. See, it's the love of Jesus Christ that's controlling us in our daily walk, in our daily lives. Carries on to say, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Hey, whole bunch of new creations here. If you are in Christ, you're a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come. When you're wandering through this journey of life, I want to encourage you. There is no, as long as you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, that all your sins was placed upon Him, and He was punished, that you could be set free to enjoy God and to enjoy the favor that's upon you. This sets you free on a journey of multiple choice. Where no matter where you go and what you do and what you apply yourself to and the situations that you find yourself in, God is going to favor you. He's going to bless you. And upon Him, His wrath fell. Upon Jesus Christ, God's wrath fell upon Him. That you would never have to worry about, is this blessed or is this cursed? I put before you life or death, blessings and curses, and I choose life, and throughout the rest of your life, you're wrestling with God, saying, Lord, is this life or is this death? I'm not sure which way I should go. If you are confused, chat to some of the elders, chat to some of the deacons, chat to a friend. Say, give me some perspective here. But there are so many ways that God speaks to us. There's so many ways that I've left out. He could speak to us through angels. He could speak to us through animals. He can speak to us, and these are all accounted in Scripture. So many other ways, but really, the Holy Spirit's in you. There's no right or wrong, left or right. I'm going to be blessed. I'm going to be cursed. You are blessed. You're a new creation in Christ. It should take... See, what we're doing over these last couple of weeks and months and into the future is we're helping renew your mind, that what God has really done on the cross for you has set you up for success, has set you up for health. When He promised Abraham, I want you to be a bless. I want to bless you. I'm laughing because I know what's coming. I was trying to tell someone about this gospel message during the course of the week. And I was trying to do it in a point form, and I was going saying, Adam, sin, and I'm trying to do it in one word things. And so when I got here, and so it gets to Abraham, it says, Abraham, God says, I bless you. Abraham goes, believe you. God says, righteous. And then I moved on, and I just realized it's a little bit of like a righteous, you know. Believe righteous. Moved on. And because of this, he says that I want to bless you so that you could be blessed and that you can be a blessing to others. And he was promised in advance, spoken to in advance about the gospel that was going to happen here on the cross. And he believed him. Because he believed him, he came into that. Did Abraham experience some things after that weren't quite nice? Like a raid of banding, band of raiders come and steal some things from him? Oh, did he fall out of the favor of God? Not at all. He walked, the Bible says that God turns all things around for those that love him. Did he experience more after that situation than he had experienced before? Yeah. Things are going to happen. But it's not like, oh, have I done something wrong, Lord? Because something's just happened. Have I fallen out of this relationship? Am I no longer in the right standing with you? You are in Christ. He is in you. You are blessed. Can we stand? If there's someone here this morning that says, I have never ever asked God to come into my heart. I've never ever asked the Holy Spirit to come and live within me. I've never with my mouth confessed that Jesus is Lord. I want to pray for you this morning. So if we could all close our eyes. If you have never ever asked God to come into your life, that you have felt like you have been living under blessings and curses, that you make the right decision, the wrong decision, because of what you've seen, how other people live, but you yourself haven't asked God to come into your life, I want to pray a prayer, and I want you to pray it too. The Bible says that all we need to do to be in Jesus Christ is to believe in Him. So, say after me, Lord God, I believe in Jesus Christ. That He died and rose again so that I wouldn't have to pay for my sins. In Jesus' name. We make the sinner's prayer so complicated. But really all it is kind of saying, do you believe that Jesus Christ paid for your sins? That you might be able to walk in freedom. That's all it is. People say, I don't know how to lead people to God. Ask Him, do you believe? If this is the first time you've actually prayed that prayer, or you know that you've stepped away from God, and you want to come, you feel like you need to come back to Him, could you raise your hand? I just want to, with everyone's eyes closed still, I'd like to just keep your eyes closed. I want to just, could you show me a raise of hand if this is the first time you've done that? Thank you, Lord. Well, Lord, I speak over this congregation that for this week, they would come into a greater knowledge of what you have done for them. Open up doors that no man can close. Close doors that no man can open, Lord. That, Lord, that this week would be an experiential week, Lord, where they'd be able to come into a greater knowledge of you and enjoy you and fellowship with you. That, Lord, that you too, Lord, would just set us free in the way that we live our lives on a daily basis. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Go enjoy your journey. Enjoy your journey.